Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Matt Cotrillo with us today, the only man in the building. We had Matt, by the way, took eight calls today from people wanting to buy digital media, and there was nobody home to do it. All right, so... So Matt gets the commission. All right, so good news. Okay. Duke now leads Temple 42-27 in the Independence Bowl. You know, it's interesting when it comes to sponsorships. Something that the College Football Playoff Committee demands is that you put the name of the bowl back into... into what is the bowl. I'll give you an example. You'll see tomorrow, I think I believe it's tomorrow, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl's tomorrow? Or I mean Saturday?
Yes, Saturday.
Michigan, Florida?
Yeah.
Well, for years they've been the Peach Bowl, the various variations of the Peach Bowl, whatever, you know, different sponsor, whatever, the Waffle House. No, Waffle House never did that. But, you know, Peach Bowl. Well, finally, Chick-fil-A got the rights. And for a little bit, it was the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. It then just transitioned into the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Okay. Well, when the people in Atlanta wanted to put that bowl into consideration to be a college football playoff bowl, they were told they had to put the name of the bowl back into the title. And then they got it, and so they're the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Well, if you notice this year, Tax Slayer put the Gator Bowl back in put Gator back in this year. Now it's the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. Now this is what the Walk-Ons Independence Bowl. They've always kept Independence in it. That was a bad snap by Temple and a punt, and it's and they fall on it back at the 10. They're in deep trouble. But yeah, I remember the Pool and Wheat Eater Independence Bowl at one point. But you notice there are more and more bowls putting the name back into the title. I think what's going on here, for example, is that if they ever expand the college football playoff, like the Gator Bowl people, they'd love to be a part of it. So you put the name back in it. I'm glad they are. No offense to the sponsors, because the sponsorship means a lot. But how often have you ever heard me mention the sponsor of the game when I do the title of the game? Like the Rose Bowl presented by Northwestern Life. No offense. I believe that this is the only time I mentioned it. I meant Penn State's playing in the Rose Bowl. I think one time last year I mentioned it was the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. After that, it was always the Fiesta Bowl. Citrus Bowl. You won't. VRBO is the title sponsor. I probably won't mention them. I'm just going to call it the Citrus Bowl. You know, I mean, let's start with this part of it. They're, you know, until I'm getting a check from VRBO, there's nothing there for me. You know, I did the Orange Bowl as Discover, and I was like, no, it was FedEx. FedEx was that year when Penn State played Florida State. And I'm like, I never once referred to it as the FedEx Orange Bowl. I don't know. I just don't do it. There's nothing to do with that. To me, it's just simple to call the bowl game by the bowl game. Now, Outback Bowl, you have to. There's no other choice. But I remember at one point, the Sun Bowl was just the John Hancock Bowl. Now they've gone back to the John Hancock Sun Bowl. I'm glad they've done it, because at least gives you an idea of where the darn thing is. I mean, it gives you, I mean, it's like these golf tournaments now. The Bridgestone. Okay. Show of hands, where is it? I mean, the Travelers. Where's the Travelers? Now, I know because I grew up there. The Travelers used to be the Greater Hartford Open. Well, for goodness sakes. You know, the sponsor takes over all of it, and I understand for the money you have to do it. I don't blame it. The Travelers, I don't blame them, and I don't blame the people in Hartford for taking it on. Travelers is based in Hartford. But it used to be the, oh, they're playing in Hartford. Oh, okay, great. And maybe in Cromwell, but they're playing in Hartford. Yeah, right. You know, they've quote Westchester Open. Oh, they're playing outside of New York City. Now they've got all the sponsors, and there's no name of where it is. You don't know where the heck it is. Same thing with some of these bowl games. You know, they would do some of that. So I'm glad they put at least the names back in it. Independence Bowl always stayed in it, by the way, which was good. But, yeah. Well, great to have you with us today. Hope you had a great holiday. Lots of fun. Had to be a little more fun in your house, right? I would think, Matt, a little bit more fun in your house this year.
Oh, yeah, it was. My wife and I actually got to spend a little time by ourselves Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, and then we went to go see her parents the rest of Christmas Day and through yesterday, got back a little bit little bit later last night, and then we did my parents the weekend before, so we got everybody in. It was fun.
That's good. That's great. And we had everybody here. I had all five grandkids here for 3 days.
Oh, wow. That must have been a show.
Oh, no, it's fun. No, it's fun. I had a good time. Yeah, you know, we got a big enough house, you know, and see, what I do every year is, look, I've always been the one. Years ago, 21 years ago. Actually, it's almost 22 now. So 22 years ago, my parents got me a video camera. Now, since replaced it. But I've always been the one that takes videos on vacation, videos of the holidays, videos of Halloween, birthday parties. You know, now I've got Little League games on there. You know, like, just to like, when I mean Little League games, like I went to a game every year and just, you know, shots of him playing, you know. Okay? Baby's born, go up, you know, whatever. That's what I do. So at the end of Christmas every year, I then retreat here into the studio, and I make DVDs for all five of my kids of A Year of the Jones Family.
That's a really good idea. That's really cool.
Right, so they get one, then I make a sixth one that's obviously for Kathy and me. But that's what I do every year. And I once you make the first one, then it's a question just after that. And, you know, and literally, I go back upstairs. And, laugh and kid around, joke. And then about 45 minutes later, I come down and the DVD sitting here. And I pop the next one in, boom, bring it upstairs, make sure it's okay, boom, put it in the jewel case. And, you know, stack them all up and I'm done. And I give each kid a video of the year. Now, they may never watch it. They may never watch it. But you know what? They've got it. And if they ever want to look back on the kids and how they grew up, they ever want to look at all the family gatherings, they've got all that. Each one of them has a copy of it. And I do that every year at Christmas time, and I've done that for the last 22 years. All right? Now, at one point, I was doing them on VHS. You know, but then I took all the VHSs 1 year. I think it was in the summertime, and I converted them all to DVD. So that's what I do every year. And by Christmas night, you know, I usually start working on this project about 2-3 in the afternoon and early evening, after I've got, I want to make sure they're all done first. Boom, I hand each kid one of them, and It's a year with the family. So it's them going on vacation. It's birthday parties. This year we had a grandchild born, little Maddie. And so we got, you know, when we first saw her, then the next time we saw him at Thanksgiving, and then, you know, Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, the whole thing. So now the rest of their lives, the parents not only have pictures, but they have video. You know, my grandson was playing Little League this year. He played some flag football this year. I got that. My granddaughter, I've got stuff of things that she did this year. You know, I mean, it's all of them. You know, plus the parents themselves, and you know, kids, in-laws, and so forth. I mean, the only one that's not in there is my son-in-law Andrew, who's been in Guam the entire year. Well, the good news is that, you know, my daughter Megan, Kathy and I went out to breakfast with her this morning. He was scheduled for transfer from Guam to Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland. Well, she got a job teaching in Woodbridge, Virginia. So she took the job with the anticipation he was supposed to be here the first week of October. Well, he's been there the entire time, and they haven't transferred him yet. So he's the only one that it's not in any of these videos. Well, guess what? He's coming home on Saturday. The transfer was approved, so he'll be here Saturday night.
Awesome to hear.
Not here. He's flying into D.C. So, but when I mean here, they'll be together. So that'll be good. So, and he's a great guy. But yeah, so that's what I do every year. I do that. That way, they've got at least some reminders of family life. I mean, there are 22 Christmases on there. You know, and the 22 Christmases are everybody opening presents, laughing, kidding around, smiling, having a good time. You know, really a reminder of the all the great things that they've, you know, and how close they are as kids. It's really great. You know, and then there are memories too. I haven't done this, Matt, but for example, I've lost both my parents. But in the early years of doing this, I've got videos of my parents. I've got that, right? And I got to transfer the DVD. Kathy lost her father 5 years ago. He's on a bunch of them. Now, she still has her mom. She's doing okay. No, maybe no better than okay, but she's doing okay. Right? And she's in her upper 80s now. But like, if Kathy ever wanted to go back and just look at her mom 20 years ago, I've got that. See, it's like memories like that. That's why I do it. Oh, and I take some time on Christmas after the, you know, you talk about all the kids around and the hustle and the bustle and everything like that. But that's what I'll do is I'll come down here. Now, and I'm not spending the entire time down here. It probably takes me, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes to organize. And then after that, it's just a question of coming down every half hour, 45 minutes, depending on how lazy I am. taking one out, putting the next one in, and clicking a button. Yeah,
that's a really cool project. I like that a lot. Because we actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because we watched home videos at my parents-in-law's house this weekend. Mm-hmm. That was kind of cool to see, like my wife when she was younger and her all of her siblings when she was younger and everything. So it's a cool thing to do.
Yeah, but it also, you know, I don't know. It just reminds them of everything, you know, because, I mean, look, we had a great time. Again, we go on vacation. We have a great time. Oh, every once in a while does somebody squawk about something? Oh, yeah. You know, and then it ends in like 60 seconds. Ah, the heck with it. It's like, you know, I mean, we were planning out what we want to do on vacation. Now, the only part we're waiting for is to whether Megan's husband, who's coming back on Saturday, nobody knows what he can and can't do yet. He hasn't reported for work yet at Andrews. But, I mean, that's all we're waiting for. You know, we've got a wedding coming up this year, too. My son Christopher's getting married. You know, in 2019. He's getting married in June.
Another one. That's awesome.
Oh, no. Matt. This is not another one. Okay? This, in terms of me forking over money for it is the last one.
Gotcha. I can definitely understand that.
Well, so number five's getting married. You betcha. That's what I always told my daughter Megan. She's actually the youngest. I said, I just want you to know when she graduated from Penn State. I said, I want you to know that. That when we have the party for you, she says, yeah. I said, the party's actually for me. Because I'm done paying for college. All right. And I did not get the discount here at Penn State. I had to pay the state rate like all of you, so you know how I feel. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you on the show today. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
And it's Harmony for TCU, the Cheez-It Bowl. 10-7 in overtime.
Jason Benetti with a call on ESPN last night. Jason's a very good play-by-play guy, by the way. The White Sox are very fortunate to have him. Plus, he does a lot of work now for ESPN football, some basketball, some of the baseball. Jason does a really, really good job. All right. This Saturday, 48 hours from now, after I'm done doing a basketball game, you know, I've had a lot of people say, how come you're not in Orlando? I have a basketball game here on Saturday. And then I'll fly Sunday, and I'll get there Sunday, and I'll be there all day Monday, and then the game will be Tuesday, and I'm flying back Tuesday night right after the game, because Wednesday I have to fly to Michigan.
Oh, wow, that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, well, everything's a quick turnaround. But I had somebody ask me about that today, about, you know, wow, how do you keep track of all this? Well, I said, it's my life, so I keep track of it. It's not... I said, but they're all charters. I said, so, I mean, I could have flown from Orlando to Detroit on Wednesday. In fact, there was one person trying to convince me to do that. But I finally told Jack, no, I'm leaving after the game. He goes, no. He says, like, we can go out, get a bite to eat, whatever. You know, I said, you know, watch the Rose Bowl. I said, Jack, I'm going back. He's like, oh, come on. So, but yeah, I've got the game on Saturday at 1 o'clock. And I'll be done by 3:30 or whatever. And I'll watch the playoff games on Saturday. And Sunday morning, I'll get up, and I think we've got to be out of here about 9 or so. Or at least, you know, the organizational part of being out of the house at 9. You know, you got to go through all, you know, security checks and bag checks, things like that. We're up in the air around. I think we're like 10:30 or something like that. I've got to look at the schedule. It's here somewhere. And we get down to Orlando, and then I'll go over to practice. And then New Year's Eve, Monday, I'll go to practice again. And then we have Learfield has a dinner that Jack, Derek, and I have to be at. And when I say have to be at, I only say that as a matter of fact. It's not anything, because we really want to go, actually. So we're like, hey, when's that dinner going to be? Because we like going to this dinner every year. It's really, like, it's actually really, really well done, you know. And not only that, but we don't have to spend any of our per diem. and then the game is on Tuesday. I'm on Kentucky's network at 9:35, and I think we're leaving the hotel at like quarter after 10, and we're on at 11:30, and the game's at 1, and I think my plane to come back here is at 7, and I think we land here like 9:30, something like that, and then I leave at 2:30 the next day to go to Michigan, and we'll do the show from Ann Arbor, and Then I'll settle in. Then we'll come back Thursday night after the game at Michigan, and then settle in for the weekend, at least for a few days. I'm at least back here for like 6 or 7 days after that. So that's the schedule, Matt.
A lot of airtime, literally.
Yeah. You know what? It's all charters. It's all charters, though. I'm not changing planes and airports like that.
Dude, getting out of direct.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's why to me this is easier than flying from Detroit. Flying from Orlando to Detroit, where I got to go through Atlanta, maybe switch planes, whatever. Coming, look, I'll charter down with the group on Sunday, charter back on Tuesday night, charter Wednesday to Ann Arbor or to Ypsilanti, charter back Thursday night. It's only 4 flights. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I've got the candy store jobs. Believe me. I mean, I work hard at this, but it's not work. There's a big difference.
There you go, right?
I mean, let me tell you what work really is. Digital media. All right, so there you go. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow, Tom Leach, the play-by-play voice of Kentucky. Eli Gold, the play-by-play voice of Alabama. Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. And then our picks tomorrow with Sean and the King joining on board. That's tomorrow's show. We will take Monday off. Tuesday is obviously the game between Penn State and Kentucky. And then we're back in full gear on Wednesday next week, the 2nd. The show from the 3rd on the 3rd will be from Ypsilanti, Michigan, and the then we're back here in the Sunbury Motors Studio next Friday. So that's the schedule we have coming up as we keep the show on the move. People have asked, you know, it's really great you're able to move the show around. They said that's because we're in the witness protection program. I'm just kidding. It's all part of trying to combine this job with also being the privileged play-by-play voice of Penn State football and basketball. So, but that's what we have coming up tomorrow. Duke leads Temple 56-27 in the Independence Bowl. Duke with 35 unanswered points in the second half of that game. And Daniel Jones, the quarterback for Duke, looks the part about going to the next level. Many people feel he'll forego his final year and go to the NFL. I'll say this for Daniel Jones. Good natural talent, well-schooled. David Cutcliffe is as fine as anybody in the country when it comes to developing pro-style quarterbacks. Penn State's Tommy Stevens will not participate in the Citrus Bowl. In fact, he's not on the trip right now. He's home recovering after some surgery he had. Look, the bottom line is this for Tommy Stevens. He has worked so hard to get to the point where even though he wanted to play more, everyone knew that the eggs were in the 2019 basket for Tommy Stevens. By having surgery now, and I don't mean now, it was last week. By having surgery last week, that means he can be a full go in all probability for spring practice, which for Tommy Stevens is, I mean, this is the whole ball game for him. So it's not about one game. It's about a full season for him. He'll certainly get a big push from a really talented quarterback in Sean Clifford. But Tommy Stevens has also invested 4 years of his life into this program and has done every single thing that they've asked him to do. And I think he's, you know, and while Sean Clifford's going to push him and push him, let's be honest about it. Tommy Stevens is going to be given every consideration to be the starting quarterback next year. He's going to be given every consideration because he's earned it. He's earned the right to have every consideration given to him. All right. Sean Clifford works hard every day, too, and Clifford will not give up without a fight. But that's why missing this bowl game in order to get this surgical procedure done is all about 2019 for Tommy Stevens. Because as you know, when he declared he was going to not leave Penn State, he was going to stay at Penn State, all right, then, you know, it was all then at that point about 2019 for him because Trace McSorley was already entrenched as the starting quarterback. Tommy, by the way, did get his degree 2 weeks ago. I think a lot of people had thought he got his degree in May. He did not. He got his degree last 2 weeks ago, December. I want to say it was December the 15th he got his degree. And they're going through their – they all arrived yesterday. They did not practice yesterday. Today was their first full practice out there. Let's see. You got show tonight, 6:05 to 7. Matt, when's our next Shikalimi game? Does that mean the Chiefs done a great job in those games?
I believe it is tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow against Central Columbia.
Very nice. Patrick Chambers tonight, 6:05 to 7. UMBC, the Slayers of Virginia last year, the only 16 to ever beat a 1, will be in the Jordan Center to play the Nittany Lions on Saturday at 1 o'clock. We're on beginning at 12:30. Nick Saban of Alabama remains steadfastly opposed to expanding the college football playoff. He had his press conference today at Orange Bowl Media Day today. It was Saban, though, who reminded everyone that, hey, look, he wasn't in favor of going from 2 to 4 teams. So he prefaced it by saying that. He did say that that he feels expanding the field leads to undercutting of the self-gratification for players that comes with going to bowl games not associated with the national championship. I'll get to that point in a second. I mean, I see what he's talking about because he makes a point here. He says, I think the playoff continues to expand to minimize the importance of those games, maybe to the point where those games won't even exist. See, that part he's not right about. He says, I'm not sure that's the best thing overall for college football. Let's start with this premise. ESPN now is in the process. They have 13. They're about to get a 14th. ESPN is going to have ownership of 14 of these bowl games. Okay? And it's not the New Year's Six they own. So you're talking about what they're 40 with the championship game. So that's three. Let's see. That's one plus the other six. That's seven. That's 21 out of the 40 bowl games that I can assure you will be in existence no matter what. But the other games will as well. I mean, like I said, like I'm watching the game in Phoenix last night, the Cheez-It Bowl. All these games are getting viewership. That's the bottom line. Every one of these games is going to have a million or more viewers. I mean, I'm sitting here. It was yesterday after Christmas. Okay, day after, I'm getting a little. I'll be frank with you. I don't think I did any work yesterday. I did zero. I just kind of, had to run to take care of a couple of errands. But I got back in time. I started watching the first bowl game, the one in the Cotton Bowl that got canceled. It was 7-0 BC at the time. Then the next game came up, and I started watching the Quick Lane Bowl. Minnesota kind of got control of that. So midway through the third quarter, because Minnesota controlled it, I kind of, left the room, got something to eat, whatever. Checked out a couple of other things. But then when it came down to the Cheez-It Bowl, which was 9 o'clock at night, I'm sitting there at 9 o'clock at night. I mean, I've got the UMBC game all prepared. I've got the Kentucky game all prepared. And I've got the Michigan game all done right up to Sunday. Okay, Michigan plays Sunday, and obviously Penn State plays Saturday. But I've got both teams prepared right up to the next, the last game before they play each other. So I don't have any work. So I just kind of sat down, put my feet up, and I watched the game. Well, it's the Cheez-It Bowl. Like, that's one of those so what, big deal, no big deal. You know, it's meaningless bowl games. I don't care if you think it's meaningless. I care less. Then don't watch. I'm sure there's something on Bravo you'll enjoy. And you can watch Bravo all day for all I care. I don't care what you do. But don't sit there and tell me it's a meaningless bowl game. Fine, don't watch. I'm in the mood to watch it because it's football. It'll be fun. I laugh about this. Oh, there are too many bowl games. Don't watch them. But I like the idea of having the option to watch it if I want. There's 800 channels. Pick one you want to watch. I picked it. I picked this. I'm not telling you you have to watch it, but I want to watch it. That's what I did last night. So he makes this point. The college football playoffs in the fifth year of a 12-year contract, and Saban agreed that Saban argued that if the playoff were to expand, then more players would skip bowl games to prepare for their NFL futures, and fewer fans would attend the games. Attendance is a problem at bowl games now. Viewership is not. Viewership is great for bowl games. That's why they have them. I mean, look how they're all scheduled. Last 2 days have been 1:30, 5:15, 9 o'clock. Pinstripe Bowls after this, Wisconsin and Miami. Now, I'm going to go over, I have to go to Permane Brothers here to do the other show with Patrick Chambers for the radio network. You know, but guess what? The show goes till 7 o'clock. Guess what? 7:15, I'm probably going to sit down with my dinner and I'll watch some of the game. Yeah, I mean, I find that something intriguing. It'd probably be the second half that I'm watching, and then the game tonight with Baylor, I'll probably watch a good chunk of that. Why? Because it's just relaxing for me to do. All right, so he does argue that more players will skip bowl games to prepare for the NFL draft. Look, there's only so many players that can do that. I mean, there's only so many. Will Greer, West Virginia, is opting to get ready for the NFL draft because he doesn't want to take any hits coming up. I can't remember which bowl games West Virginia's in. You know, but I mean, you've had more players this year than ever declare that way, that they're not going to play in said bowl game. This is the Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette thing. I mean, the person that started all this was Jalen Smith of the Cowboys. When he was at Notre Dame, he played in that Fiesta Bowl game against Ohio State, and he tore his knee to shreds. Cowboys took a risk. I want to say the Cowboys drafted him, Matt, in the second round. I think that sounds right. You know, they took a big chance on him, and now he's really become a good player.
I think it was the second round, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? But that's what started this entire trend, that McCaffrey and Fournette did it. See, Barkley played last year, but see, that's Barkley. Barkley was like, I'm on Penn State. I'm playing for Penn State. I'm playing the game. And then, you know, Sanders played a little bit more in that game last year. You know, you notice that Barkley didn't return kickoffs in that Fiesta Bowl and so forth. And that was part of Franklin trying to throw his level of protection in there. He said that... So the importance of non-playoff bowl games would continue to sort of disintegrate. The issue is this. The viewership is not disintegrating. Now, the attendance at them has gone down over the years because there are more of them. There's no doubt the attendance is down. But the viewership is up everywhere. Saban said, I'm not sure that's good for college football. I'm not really for going eight teams in a playoff. It's a hypothetical question that I have enough issues and problems to solve without thinking about something that may or may not happen. You know, it's the usual typical You know, I'm irritated with the question deal at the end there. Here's the issue right now. I've always been in favor of four. I've been in favor of four for decades. But through 5 years, Alabama's been in all 5 years because, you know, in four of the five, they earned their way in. Last year, they did not earn their way in. You know, and see, what really kills my argument is that Alabama won it last year. Well, they won it last year. So I don't think a team should lose when there are only four spots available out of 129, only four are available. You should not lose your last game and make the playoff. Really? When there's only four spots available, they lost their last game last year. Okay, but the game before they won big. Yeah, over Mercer. So for the 5 years, they deserved to be in. Last year, they did not. This year, yes.
And see, this is why I think the eight-team argument makes more sense, because it's still a top priority for any college football team in the Power 5 conferences to win their conference. And then any teams that are on the fence and you have to debate about, like Alabama was last year, then you got those three wild card spots. And then they have a chance to put themselves in that said playoff game.
No, exactly.
That's why, to me, eight teams makes a lot more sense.
Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick said he didn't see any momentum for change, except Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic did this big piece 2 weeks ago about there is momentum out there. Barry Alvarez was one of the people she extensively talked to about it. Swarbrick said, I think it's working very well. Having said that, I think every business should look at every aspect of its business. But being open to a conversation is not the same thing as an advocate for a particular change. I think we should talk about anything members think are relevant, but I don't see any momentum for change. Here's where I think there might be some momentum for change. Clemson's been in 4 out of 5 years. Alabama's been in all 5 years. Oklahoma's in, I think, I want to say for the third time in 5 years. Notre Dame's in for the first time. What do you see there? Notre Dame is in South Bend, Indiana. Everything else over and over again has been decidedly southeast in this. Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Florida State. Right? These are the schools that have been in the college football playoff. You've had two Pac-12s, a Washington and an Oregon. Right? Oregon when they had Mariota. You've had Ohio State in a couple of times. I think Ohio State's been in three times. So you've had the Big Ten there three times. Penn State should have been in, but again, we're not taking two lost teams. Even two lost teams that win nine consecutive games. Instead, we'll take the team with the non-conference schedule with Rutgers. There's been too much southeast. Now, when I say too much southeast, look, 4 out of 5 years, Alabama absolutely deserved to be in. And the four times Clemson's been in, they absolutely deserve to be in. Okay? So it's not like, I mean, you got to knock them off at some point. But this is also college football. If you want to grow the game of college football, I think you've got to be able to appeal to all the regions across the country to do it. You want to grow it. I also think by expanding to eight teams, this would be another plus. You know, we talk about how relevant the regular season is. Now, that's always one of the great arguments. It's all relevant. Okay, so in other words, that game between Penn State and... let's see. I guess Penn State and Michigan, which Michigan won big. It was only relevant for Michigan, but it wasn't relevant for Penn State because Penn State already had two losses. Okay, what about a game late in the year between a pair of two lost teams? Hey, what happens if you get a game in November between a pair of 7-2 teams? Both ranked in the top 12. One of them might be able to get themselves into the top 8. Well, isn't that a relevant game? Under the current system, that game is not a relevant game for the playoff. under an 8-team playoff, it might be a relevant game. You actually might end up with more relevant games in November. You might have more relevant games in November with an 8-team playoff because you've got more people involved in it that could still possibly get there. Instead of a destiny march by Alabama, a destiny march by Clemson. I mean, by the time we got to November 1st, didn't everybody feel that it was Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame? The spot we didn't know about was the last spot. So we spent an entire month validating Alabama, an entire month validating Clemson, an entire month validating Notre Dame, and then we spent the last month trying to figure out who the last spot belonged to, Oklahoma, Georgia, or Ohio State. That's how it played out. That's how it plays out almost every year. Wouldn't you have more relevant games where suddenly Washington is playing Washington State and the winner of that game gets to the Pac-12 championship game and is still in the running? It's like a playoff. The Apple Cup game suddenly feels like it's a playoff game. Just a thought. They always talk about relevancy of the regular season. A lot of games, when it comes to the college football playoff, have warped to irrelevancy because those teams are out of the playoff race or perceived to be out of the playoff race or is a race of futility. In 2016, Penn State won the Big Ten championship, yet in the college football playoff, it felt like every week was a race to futility because they already had two losses, even though they were probably one of the three hottest teams in the country. That you can argue in 2016 that Penn State and USC were both better than a couple of teams in the college football playoff. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKO. Okay. By the way, I think, I don't know why you get these questions, but people are curious. People ask me, what color uniform is Penn State wearing in the Citrus Bowl? They're wearing the blue jerseys, okay? And let's dispel another myth. The reason Penn State's wearing the blue jerseys is not because they're the higher-ranked team. The higher-ranked team jersey only comes into play when it's the